Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
It's The Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, typically The Zone with Jason Anderson. He is not here today. I am Joshua Briscoe, moving over from the little chair to the big chair. Again, as previously discussed, all the chairs are the same size. But metaphorically speaking, it's the big chair. Bears McFly on the other side of the glass, now joined by our friend Ryan Tracy of, well, kind of everything. The Locked On Chiefs podcast, Rogue Analytics, RGR Football, and a ton of incredible video content, including a weekly sesh with our friend Seth Kaiser up on the YouTube channel as well. Ryan, I know that I've left something out that you've already probably spent some portion of your day working on. I appreciate you adding us to the rotation for a little bit today.
Thanks for having me, metaphorically or otherwise.
Look, it's metaphorically a big chair. It's metaphorically light outside. I don't know how many times you and I have done a radio show when the sun was up. So I'm just want to make sure you're comfortable right now.
Oh, I'm good. There's not enough hours in the day that I can work, but I'm just making sure that you're all right.
So far, it's good. You know, having to be at work before a 10 o'clock show has really, I mean, 10 a.m., it might as well be 4. So, you know, I'm barely just dragging myself in by the time most people are having lunch. But I'm getting used to the schedule, and it's all been good. All been good so far.
Life changes, Josh. Life changes.
Really, that's right. I'm growing up and setting an alarm in the morning again. So on the note, you know, Ryan, of changes, I mean, how quickly things change. You look at the Chiefs wide receiver room, and it's almost too easy of a segue. But we really have had an offseason of changes for the Chiefs. We are now also in a week that has a preseason game. And I don't think it is silly to look forward to preseason action, particularly this year. That's not always true. But I have like a short laundry list of guys that I'm excited to see actually take the field on Saturday. How are you feeling now that we're just a handful of days away from a sort of real game?
I'm just impressed you have a short list. I have half the roster.
Yeah, fair.
You know, it's exciting. It is, you're absolutely right. For the first time in a couple of years, that is, there's multiple positions that are not only in question, but have exciting talent there. Not just the hope that somebody's going to step up, but real expectation that this could be a change at the position that goes forward and helps the Chiefs in the future.
Yeah, so where do you look first and foremost? I mean, if you're taking some of the training camp hype into guys that you might see get some significant playing time on Saturday, who leads that list for you? Is there somebody who's number one with a bullet?
I mean, yeah, it always is, because when you're the first pick of a draft, It comes with that expectation. And maybe not the hype. I'm not so much of a hype machine, because I like to actually see what the coaches are seeing. And Trent McDuffie, it's been quiet until maybe the last few days in terms of the rhetoric.
Yeah.
But he's quietly put in this kind of workmanlike attitude, a guy that's going to be on the field as much as any rookie out there that actually has impact. And I'm rather excited for it. It's a transition for him, but it sounds like he's making quick work of his new role in the NFL.
Well, you're right. We had a Twitch comment or a text earlier of somebody saying like, hey, I haven't heard anything about Trent McDuffie. And it's funny, because I think sometimes you get a quiet camp from certain people, and that's the best possible thing. You know, no news is good news. But a lot of times with the rookies, you're right. You do see some hype roll in, even if that's not a good way to evaluate. So how are you reading into what we have and haven't heard from him so far? And then also, I mean, we talked about him before and after the draft, I think. But what it is in particular that you're looking for from him that he can show against the Bears?
I think what I'm really intrigued by is the fact that he's making this transition. At Washington, he played, I think, just under 83% of his college snaps were all in zone. And what Steve Spagnuolo had to say the other day about how he's learning the techniques in man and embracing them and coming along, the fact that the only time we see him get beat consistently is when he's up against a receiver. size advantage, which was the known quantity coming in about Trent in the draft. That says that he's locking down everything else that they're trying to teach him and trying to make that transition. And that means, just like Legarius a couple years ago, he's to the point where he can step on the field as a rookie and be productive with whatever the known limitation is, and work on building that and strengthening that. So in the end, a season or two from now, he should be really well-rounded. Should be a 1-2 punch with Sneed there, who I think had a pretty good morning today as well.
Well, and if I stretch that to the same position in the rookie class, Joshua Williams started working in almost immediately with the ones, partially, you know, because Rashad Fenton's still working back from the shoulder surgery, and Andy Reid said he's making progress. Who's to say exactly what that means? But you talk about a transition. I mean, from Fayetteville State to pretty much day one or day two of full team training camp, and I am very intrigued by what the Chiefs think they can get out of Josh Williams right out of the gate here. I think at this point, this coaching staff's probably earned the benefit of the doubt with young corners, I would think.
I think you have to give him that as well. And it very much harkens back to Sneed as well. Another fourth-round pick that came in with some expectations but not a lot on his shoulders, was expecting the transition to be maybe a lot longer than it ended up being. I think that's great. I love the fact that they jumped him in the fire. Quite frankly, for Josh Williams, the best thing that happened to him this preseason is that Rashad Fenton had to have surgery.
Yeah.
Because he's gotten that opportunity to show what he can do.
Yeah.
I think that's going to earn him reps down the line. Now, when Fenton's back, Josh is not going to be running with the ones anymore, and that's okay. But I think that exposure allows him to play a role later in the season when there's either injury at that position or there's attrition that in general makes you have to start rotating more, not playing, you know, 70, 80, 90% of the snaps with your starters. I think that's going to pay off in the playoff run as well. And just like last year's class, there's going to be, I think, three or four rookies that really make an impact on this season and its outcome.
I agree 100%, and I also think that is such a fascinating, different thing now for Steve Spagnuolo to deal with, because what's the thing we've talked about around Spags more than him sort of favoring the veteran who knows the playbook, right? I mean, there are all the different elements that come into that, and now we're talking about McDuffie, Karloftis, Brian Cook, Leo Schnell, Josh Williams. Like, we can go deep just into the rookie class of guys who I think we all expect to have some sort of role to play. What are you expecting to see from that learning curve and how full Steve Spagnuolo's hands might be right now in having to build this defense a little differently?
I think that's going to be the most intriguing part. And I think this first preseason week is going to be a lot of experimentation, feeling out who can do what. It's great to have all this practice time. And the way that they structured the padded practices back to back to give you a little bit more of game feel, I like that kind of concept. But in the end, until you're playing another team, I don't think Spags has what he has and what he wants in terms of information. So where do they start, I think, will be different than where they finish. So for Karloftis, does he rush solely from the edge in this first preseason game? Or are they already rotating him down inside so that he, Carlos, and Frank can all be on the field together? I'm really intrigued by that concept. And they kind of hinted at it the whole time. But what does that look like in week one of the preseason versus week one of the regular season? And then Leo Schnell, is Steve really going to change his whole concept and abandon the nickel blitzes and just send Leo when you want a fifth pass rusher? Because I'm here for that all day long.
Yeah. Tell me how you think that works, especially if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, because as soon as you see Schnell on the field, I think you at that point have to assume he's coming your direction and at least not moving backwards, at least until he can prove that he can do that at the NFL level, which right now I don't really have any evidence for. So how do you walk that line if you're trying to weaponize Leo Schnell, but then if you're an opposing offensive coordinator that wants to try to pick on him, how's that chess game going to work?
I think if you're Steve Spagnuolo, you don't even show him in the preseason trying to play backward. Just show him coming downhill, because that's the expectation that's already built in. Go ahead and reinforce that for every defensive coordinator you're going to see in the first half of the season, and just let him keep thinking that. And then when you get there, practice it up, especially once camp breaks and you're a little bit more behind closed doors, then work on getting him into some of those shallow hooks so you can build zones around where he has to be, and then you have that X factor. I think some replacements are going to be able to be done, zone blitz types of things where he can actually back out and get some surprise looks at different passing lanes where I think the pressure will overwhelm. I look for a lot of overload blitzing if he's not coming when he's on the field, and I think that's something that Spags is really going to enjoy trying to be deceptive about.
It has to be just a very fun, I imagine a stressful, but also a very fun time for Spags, because we are talking about, like, players with these specific sets of skills. I have spent precious little time talking about Brian Cook since minicamp. He looked good in minicamp. He looked good at the beginning of training camp when they worked him in. And then he and McDuffie might be two of those guys that we've talked about the least. And I have to imagine that there are plans in place for Brian Cook as well.
Oh, I hate to tell you, since the day he was drafted, Brian Cook is the X factor in this defense.
Tell me about it.
He's going to be able to do everything. Every problem that you've seen over the last 3 years with either linebackers or safeties being able to turn and run with tight ends, that's over. Brian Cook can run with anybody. Timed in the mid-4.3s as a safety. And it's just because the pre-draft process didn't go exactly smoothly for him that it didn't get really mentioned. He can play with power. He can come down. He's extremely intelligent, and he's diligent. Some of the guys that he played with at Cincinnati credit him with organizing not just the secondary that ended up having two high draft picks out of it, but a defense that really put Cincinnati onto the map for the college football playoff. It is Brian Cook that is really going to be in that role to be the other guy that isn't accounted for, much like they used to do with Dan Sorensen when Dan was making those plays deep down the field when the expectation wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I think either the blitz package or the drop package, you're going to see, I think, Cook and Chanel playing off of each other when Chanel is on the field. And when he's not, I think Brian Cook's going to get turned loose.
So you mentioned the pre-draft process, and we might need to go back some to that to understand how he ends up at 62 while you also see such a enormous series of skill sets and different things that he can do for this defense. Give me a little more on what you think is reasonable to expect from him with all that being said, and then also how he ended up falling to pass the 60.
Pass the 60 is a big one. The skill set is varied. That's the problem, is it? At Cincinnati, he didn't have as much an established role. He played down at the line of scrimmage sometimes. He played deeper in coverage at others. It was very matchup dependent. And I think what gets lost in the pre-draft process, at least outside of NFL front offices, is that versatility is coveted in the league, that maybe it isn't as dramatic at the college level because you're looking for something a little bit more substantial and consistent. And you're not looking to be as chess-driven kind of scheming. But that allows for guys like Spags who want to just come up with wild and crazy things to throw off opposing quarterbacks. It allows him to be that X factor. I think he's pretty good against the run. I mean, you don't want him taking on guards, but if you think a tight end's going to come get the better of Brian Cook, I think you're sadly mistaken. And that supports the rest of what you see with Le'Jarius Sneed, who's really come on in his run support when teams try to take advantage of him. Mm. And that limits the edges for every offense, whether it's on jets, whether it's out of the backfield, whether it's the RPO game. If you can limit the edges with less players, then you have a chance for that defense to take advantage of deeper passes, quarterbacks holding the ball more, and more classic runs that you hope, with the addition of your defensive line, that you're better prepared to stop. And the reason that he fell is a combination of all those factors, not having a singular role, but also because the pre-draft process for him was not exactly clean. Mm-hmm. Timing didn't go off. It was a pro day. There's a number of factors. The one concern that I heard a little bit before pre-draft was that there was some lower body injury concerns that were popping up, and maybe that scared some teams off. But we've seen no evidence of that, and the Chiefs certainly didn't seem to come up with that in their medical evaluation, so I think we have to feel pretty confident about them.
I think that there are going to be some people that leave this segment today and go start looking into a Brian Cook jersey, or at the very least, at least a ticket on the hype train, because I am more excited about Brian Cook now than I was 5 minutes ago. So I appreciate that gift. You mentioned Carl Loftus maybe rotating back inside some, and you know, how soon will we see that and all. And I want to come back to Carlos Dunlap in a minute. I've got his name written down at the bottom of my sheet of paper off to the side. I want to talk about Dunlap. But within the expectations for Carl Loftus now, I mean, we talked about him before the draft. We talked about how you felt when they drafted him there. We've now seen what he was going to look like in the depth chart to where now we actually stand, where we see that they've added Dunlap, and Frank Clark has some hype around him to this point. Again, we haven't played new football games, but he looks good out there. We see all that. Where are you at right now on George Karloftis? Is there anything that you have seen or heard so far that has you adjusting any rookie season expectations?
No, not to this point. I think he looked exactly like the expectation was. Great with power, gets with his pad down when he needs to, and plays his game so far. I love how much that he's trying to learn hand technique, et cetera, that we've seen demonstrated. But what's really stood out is the team's been able, despite what was, you know, nearly a panic button situation with the edge position, they've managed to incorporate, with the resurgence and the dropped weight of Frank Clark, and now with Carlos Dunlap, guys that have a little bit more edge mentality in terms of getting around the protection, not necessarily through it like Carlos. So you've managed to, I wouldn't call them benders. Nobody's like Von Miller on this roster, but in terms of relativity, they're not straight ahead as much as Karlaftis is. So you've supplemented with a little bit of a change in style, the ability to move guys around and get different types of matchups on different guys inside. I'm not huge on Dunlap inside, but I think Frank can go inside. I think Montana can go inside. Protection schemes on their toes because they don't know
four. We lost you a little bit there at the very end, and I'm just going to assume that you told us what the Chiefs are going to do to shut out Kyler Murray week one. I imagine you wove that in there just as we lost you for a second. But I think we're good now. Beard, you feeling okay? You want to do a little like hold and unhold situation? Or you feeling good? Beard's gonna call you right back, Ryan. We'll dip here real quick, and Beards will give Ryan a call. It wasn't terrible. We didn't lose, you know, a minute of radio silence. We can reconnect there. And whenever we were talking about Karlaftis at the time, I mean, Ryan, if memory serves, was a Jermaine Johnson fan and thought that spot would have made a lot of sense. But again, seeing specifically how this group all comes together, if that Frank Clark resurgence, and I'm saying if again, if this Frank Clark resurgence is a real thing, that adds a significant amount of juice. And Ryan, you mentioned Carlos Dunlap and the differences that it brings to the group, what it allows them to do. What was your thought whenever you saw that the Dunlap visit was coming through, his signing, and now what he brings to the Chiefs?
I was relieved that they got traction on what I had hoped had been an earlier inquiry. We did find out that they reached out to him in May. Mm-hmm. That a versatility that is there that isn't straight, you know, the bulkier power type guys, much like when they got Ingram last season, where it added a little bit of spice to what is already pretty good stew. You want to be able to turn that over and let them rush with some bend at times, rush with power others. His length certainly fits into Steve Spagnuolo's paradigm that he's always looking for. And just that versatility, you got to have the hunger. I think that's the difference we're going to see with both the veteran edges this year. They have something to prove, whether it's to end a career or to get a contract elsewhere in 2023. Motivation goes a long way, and I think that's going to help Karlaftis' development as well.
The word relieved is a very funny one that I also very much felt. Is there anywhere else right now across this entire roster where you look and say, like, ooh, this could be a problem? Because I felt like the edge group could have been a problem, and now I'm a little more comfortable, if not totally thrilled.
I'm still a little concerned about the offensive tackle position. Mm. Not necessarily with the starters. I think they're confident in Andrew Wiley, and obviously with Orlando back. But they're one injury away from playing at a pretty sizable deficit again on any given opponent, and that's where my concern comes in. So let's hope that they're Iron Men out there at the edges.
Yeah, no kidding. What about all the pass catchers? We have started to see maybe a little bit of what this group might look like from the additions of Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, obviously drafted. Mecole Hardman still here. We heard from Josh Gordon earlier. I'm curious to see where he ends up. Justin Watson, and the names go way down the depth chart. It seems like basically four of those spots are all but locked in at this point. How are you feeling right now about the wide receivers in particular and what we've learned to this point?
I'm very excited about what they can do in changing this paradigm of what you've seen as kind of a one-man, two-man high kind of situation with Tyreek over the top and Travis underneath. Now I think you're going to be able to spread teams more horizontally, keep them honest, keep them in more tighter zones that will allow you to find those gaps. I think MBS has shown to be very good at that. I'm really impressed with the way Juju came into camp, not only in shape, but understanding the contest that he's trying to execute with Patrick, that they certainly have a chemistry. Now it's just about, you add that on top of Mecole, who looks like he's well-motivated. You add that on top of, hopefully, Jody Fortson gets back, and now you maybe have two pass threats at the tight end position. Mm. there's a lot of weapons here. And it goes back to when Patrick was first becoming the starter, where you had to hit 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 receivers in the game to move the ball in that kind of you don't know where we're going to go, so you can't cover us kind of mentality. I see a lot of that coming this season.
When you talk about stretching the field horizontally, it's funny because when you talk about stretching the field, period, you assume vertical. You assume moving down the field stretching. What is it about stretching the field more horizontally that now this team's better equipped to do and that is important offensively?
Well, what teams decided to do to frustrate Patrick and take away Tyreek was to play two high safeties. That limits the number that they can put in the box. And quite frankly, it puts more pressure on the guys who are playing the edges on the boundary corners that have guys more one-on-one, unless you're playing those deep cover fours, which is a whole different advantage that I think Patrick's now better, has a better arsenal to take advantage of in the underneath things with Travis and Sky and McColl, who can get loose on pretty much any horizontal route at the 5, 8, 12-yard depth that just moves the chains. I expect this to be an offense that moves the chains more than taking the chunk and then backtracking from there if it's not available. It's going to be get a fresh set of downs, get a fresh set of downs, bring those safeties down, and then get a chance to go over the top. And I think those chances will be there. I think it's just going to be a little more methodical this season.
If I made you pick one of the wide receivers that you think will exceed expectations and one that would fall short of them, and that can, you know, mean anything, but in terms of the role you see, do you have an answer on either side of that where you think there's somebody who's maybe being overhyped and somebody who maybe is being undervalued at this point?
I think it's all relative because any given day you can see it go up, but I have a feeling that I'm not sure about the touchdown production, but I feel like MVS is going to have the kind of season where we go, wow, he really is a borderline number one receiver. He and Juju are neck and neck in some of the statistical categories that maybe we don't expect right now. And I do feel that Sky's going to come on in a way that's going to be more important in the second half of the season than the first. And I think it will be more creative. I'm really intrigued by this Wildcat Hardman thing.
Yeah.
If that grows legs, then the jet action, and I can see an RPO option kind of thing with Sky and McColl that's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of wrinkles that I think will come on as the offense builds, and he gets more than just, you know, a 8-10 play kind of package that is for specifically for Sky to begin the season.
I'm with you 100% on Sky. The MVS prediction there is very interesting to me, though. Is that because of who you saw him be in Green Bay? Is that because of Patrick Mahomes? I imagine probably some sort of combination. What goes into you thinking that this is a year that he looks like a borderline number one guy?
I think it's a combination of both because I think he's realized that he got very lucky to have the opportunity to go from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another. And that's going to be something he has to take advantage of. This is the contract for him to try to make his mark. Patrick seems to have a very good connection with him and Juju, but I think when it comes down to it, I think MVS is going to be a guy that's going to settle into more of the zones that people aren't going to see coming. I think they're going to focus, defenses will, on Juju, and I think that's going to leave some opportunity. I don't know if the catch volume will be there, but I feel like the yardage volume may, and it may be big chunk plays. Playing with Patrick allows you to take advantage of those. He might be the guy that gets that attention over the top.
I love it. I hope that all comes together. I am very excited about this offense, but I think that's partially. I am more excited about this offense without Tyreek Hill because I haven't seen this offense without Tyreek Hill, and so that that energy continues to really have me ready for September.
Yeah, it should. I am pretty excited about it as well. And we haven't even discussed the running back position.
Yes.
With four guys making this roster, you could have more, you could double the explosive plays out of the backfield this season, and I would not be surprised with it. The question will be whether it comes from handoffs, pitches, or actual pass targets, but in the end, does it matter in an Andy Reid offense? I don't think it does.
I don't know that it does, and I'm glad that you went there because that was the next, maybe last thing I wanted to make sure we had some time to really dig into. We can save like the roster shuffling. Stick with that for me of what you think they're going to do with the running back position this year, how things could look different out of the backfield in 2022.
I think they want to go with, you know, a bell cow type. With Clyde being healthier than he's been in any preseason before, I think that's the temptation. Whether that actually plays out during the season or not, I can't tell you at this point. So I think having a healthy rotation will become important in some matchup at some point. Maybe it's Maybe it's week six. Maybe it's week 13. I don't know. But at some point, you're going to have to get those X factors involved on the running back side. And obviously, everybody's in love with Pacheco at this point. I think he's going to be a good kick returner. And I think he will get spot duty to make an impression. If he can do that in the regular season, obviously, he'll earn himself more touches. But I think people are counting on Jerick McKinnon right now and what he was able to do in the postseason run, and that, you know, the older guy can just kind of sit back and let the young bucks do the work for now, but he'll be there in the end. So I think that the explosive potential of a four-man running back committee is there more so than we've probably seen in the last 3 or 4 years. Nothing against Darrell Williams, who I think is a stalwart, and I really like his gameplay. But he didn't have that high explosive upside, that scoot that can really make the difference in the game. And this group seems to have that. You can argue about Rojo. A lot of people have differing opinions of his look here in camp. But in the end, you got to have a little bit of everything. And this feels like a group that not only can help each other out in their abilities and skill sets, but it feels like they are kind of a foursome rather than a threesome. And that's going to be the toughest part for cutting down the rosters. Can you squeeze that many offensive players when you know you have youth at the defensive back and you need that number of slots on the defense? I kind of predicted it a couple weeks ago as a 25-25-3 specialist. That may be shifting towards the offense yet again, which wouldn't surprise any of us, for the Ethereum.
Well, and also, again, just like to the specifics of this group, it has been weird that Jones seems like he has not gotten the workload in camp that I would have expected, or some of the conversations around him that I was expecting coming into this. But like you said, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire got every single carry through week six, I would still want to have three more guys behind him that you were excited to have on the roster because of injuries, but more importantly, because of how those guys actually do get used. So if you think that, you know, there's differing opinions on Jones, Clyde's going to be the first guy out. Pacheco, like you said, Dave Tobe said he's the first guy up on kick returns right now. That means a roster spot. Like, that's a hell of an endorsement to get still pretty early on in camp. And then you think maybe people are overlooking McKinnon. Is there a chance that they do just cut down to three? And also, you assume Michael Burton's on this roster. So I am interested to see what that roster crunch is going to look like, even though everything you just said about this group, I want to have all those guys on this team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. And I will say this, Mike Burton scores 4 touchdowns this year. That's my prediction. So he's going nowhere.
Wow. Okay.
But if you can squeeze anybody onto a practice squad, is it the older guy that you can then call up? If push comes to shove and you need Pacheco for return, I think they might try to do that with McKinnon, because I don't know how many other teams are going to come calling or how many other teams he would entertain offers from, knowing that he's a step away from a Super Bowl run.
I mentioned that possibility for Josh Gordon earlier too. I just think that he's either going to be a Chief or he's probably not playing football anymore. And it seems like the early reports out of camp this year that he's not having a fabulous one. So I didn't really consider that with McKinnon. I mean, they signed him like an hour and a half ago. He was one of the last signings this team made before camp. So maybe they sneak him down there.
Maybe it's going to be that numbers crunch. I do not want to be in that room this year. It's going to be tough. This is probably the worst conundrum they have in the last 4 or 5 seasons to get to the 53.
Yeah, four running backs, a fullback, 4 tight ends. Who knows what you're going to do with your wide receivers? But that'll be my last thing for you, and let you go, Ryan. Is there anything right now that you look around and you say, hey, this group is giving me questions, or this is a place where this roster crunch might be interesting, or this is something I want to see and that you want people to be looking out for on Saturday? Anything that I wasn't smart enough to ask you about over the last half hour?
No, Josh, you're smart enough to cover it all. You don't need me. I'm just echoing. The only thing that I get into is what happens in case if the number one guy goes down. If Travis twists an ankle and has to miss 2 games, what happens? Is Jody ready? If he's not, can Noah Gray fill in that role? Do they have to keep Lake Bell and use him as a pass catcher? As we know, that's not his forte. Or what happens there? Same thing if something happens to McColl and he misses a couple of games. You got to think this guy's ready to step into the slot role and be able to manage that more than trying to make up for an injury, say, to MVS for a couple of weeks. Very different thing to go outside and face man coverage every time for Sky Moore. But what happens if you have two? Are we talking about Justin Watson, Darius Fountain being the 5 and the 6 on this roster at the wide receiver position? What can they do on the offensive side if they have to get put into the game? There are going to be some hiccups if there's injuries at those specialty pass-catching positions.
Ryan, it's always a treat. Appreciate you making some time for us with the sun up. We'll send people your way. Locked On Chiefs, available wherever you get your podcast. RGR Football on YouTube is, I think I'm just going to say it this way, and if anybody gets mad at me, fine. I think it's the best Chiefs content you're going to find on YouTube, or right up there with the best of the best. Plus, again, you can follow Ryan on Twitter, at Ryan Tracy NFL. That'll get you the links to everything else, from RGR to Locked On to Rogue Analytics to the Draft Guide to everything else Ryan does. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Tracy NFL. If I miss anything there, Ryan, I just feel like that's a sign you're going to have to quit a job or two.
Yeah, there probably is. There is something new, but I'll tell you about it next time. Thanks
Wait,
for
hold,
having me
no,
on.
No, hold on. Plug it. Plug it. Did I skip the I skipped the Substack. Is it the Substack?
It is. It's NFL33.com is my new Substack, and it is for things outside of Chiefs Kingdom, but very much from a league level.
See, I remember that it existed, but it wasn't in your Twitter bio, which, again, you ran out of characters in your Twitter bio. That means that's to you now to reorganize some things. So, yeah, check that out. Again, NFL33.com. I didn't know that straight there. I didn't know about NFL33.substack.com, so go check that out as well. All right, thank you, Ryan. If you start a new project in the next week or two, we'll just update me on the notes beforehand.
Will do. I'm Max. Enjoy the daylight.
I will. Thanks, Ryan. It's Ryan Tracy. I already told you where he does all of his stuff, how to follow him. Just absolutely one of the absolute best in the business covering the Chiefs and beyond as well. His draft guide that we talk about with him every year is just absolutely unforgettably useful in terms of the athletic matrix that he's built and his entire background. If you're not following Ryan's work, amend that now. Do it today. We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll either do Learn Funniest Best with just me and Beards, or I'll play some audio, or I'll forget and we'll do something else completely different. That's what happens whenever Jason Anderson's not here in the zone. I'm Josh Abriscoe with Beards McFly. Something else next.
You're in the zone.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
With Jason Anderson.
I hate Nick Bolton.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Come on! Come on! That's not fair! That's not true! I don't hate Nick Bolton, and if I did, it wouldn't be because he was a Missouri Tiger.
Listen, this okay. There's one of Jason also saying the same thing, so.
He's a Mizzou guy. It's even worse.
I know. We know it's in jest.
You know.
I know it was in jest.
That is the issue. Is it somebody listening in their car today has been thinking, oh, you know what, this Briscoe fella's not too bad. I've enjoyed today's edition of The Zone, even without Jason Anderson. I should be back tomorrow. And then they heard that, and they turned it off, and they didn't even get to hear, because they think I hate Nick Bolton. I don't. I like Nick Bolton. I did not love the draft pick, and I was wrong. Largely. Almost certainly. I'm not trying to hold on my ground on that one. They drafted linebackers in the second round 2 years in a row, and I didn't think they were going to do that, and I was wrong. It is what it is. Whoa, hold on. Sorry, I just got a push notification. Beard, do you have breaking news? There's like legit breaking news here that's important to me. From yeah. Shams Charania.
Oh, I just see
sources. This.
This
is brand new. This is hot and fresh on the timeline. Sources. Kevin Durant informed Joe Tsai that he does not have faith in the Nets' direction. The meeting was described as transparent and professional with a clear message. Keep me or the GM and coach. You get the breaking news thing again if you want, Beards.
That he picked.
Sorry, man, I can't hear you from the Valley of the Sun. He's not happy with that direction. Maybe go a little southwest, KD. Just right across the country, there's a beautiful state with the big Grand Canyon in it.
Utah.
It also has Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton.
Can't get traded
right now. So, a lot of picks.
I don't think they're going to do that deal for campaign.
And draft picks.
Sure.
And picks. I'm not delusional. Anyway. You want to do Learn Funniest Best?
Sure.
We don't have Jason or Mick, so I don't think I have to tell you whose turn it is each time, but let's do Learn Funniest Best.
Cool.
Are you getting music?
I can.
You were looking over at the computer as if to do music, which I think
I was thinking about it.
Let's test it. Let's see how it sounds. This is a preseason game for us. Jason's not here. Mahomes is out. Shane Bouchel wants to throw a pass between his legs and see if it works. So let's do Learn Funniest Best. This one royalty free?
Yes. It's the one that Rudy made.
Okay, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember.
It's Rudy's unique original creation.
Beards!
Yeah.
What'd you learn this week?
I learned that my Travis Kelce, or no, I learned that my theory that the Chiefs are only good when Travis Kelce has a beard theory is going to be tested this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw.
I did.
Kelce shaved to where he's just got a mustache.
Yeah.
It's a good looking mustache. But I will remind everybody, when he like was fully shaved last year,
yeah,
that was at the beginning of the year with like the Washington game and all of those, and it wasn't a good time. So I don't know. We're going to see what happens this year, but we'll see.
I think this has become a training camp mustache tradition for him. So the question's going to be, does he go clean shaven or grow it back in?
You better grow that thing back fast.
Woo! All right. Well, the Travis Kelce beard watch is on. Here's what I learned this weekend. I learned that I'm not infallible. The streak was 216. Didn't mean to sell myself short by 3 months and change. But yesterday, my Wordle streak came to an unceremonious conclusion. 216 was the streak, and I lost on a coin flip because I got too many letters right too soon and then just did a bunch of ones that weren't the right answer. I lost my streak. I also made this announcement on Sunday Sound Off last night. I'll make it again now with the appropriate serious music underneath. If you thought that this was going to lead to my retirement from Wordle, you were sorely mistaken. Even the goats lose sometimes. Maybe I'm about to go to Tampa Bay. Maybe this is the next act of my greatest of all time Wordle career. But I learned this weekend that I'm not infallible, and you learned today that I'm not going anywhere. What was the funniest thing from the weekend, Beards?
The funniest thing for me was this headline that I saw on Reddit. Batgirl holds the world record for longest director's cut as it will feature over 90 minutes of deleted scenes. If you didn't hear,
yeah,
they shelved the Batgirl movie.
That kind of made me sad. Like, it seems like it's mostly done, right? Like,
I think it was done. They were just like, yeah, we don't want to do this anymore.
Put it on Live Leak or something, you know? Let somebody leak it. Let somebody put it on WorldStar. I want to watch it, even if it stinks. Or really, I just want it to exist where people can watch it. I probably wouldn't. Here's the funniest thing from my weekend. Did you see what Seth Kaiser did?
No.
Seth posted a picture. Welp did a thing. Any blue healer experts out here? And it's a photo of his daughter and their new puppy, which is both of them adorable.
Oh, boy.
But, oh, he also tweeted more pictures. That's great news. Here's the other thing. I looked into the responses. And here's what I see. I'm not even exaggerating. Give them tons of exercise or they get insane. Very active breed. I hope you have a big yard because they never run out of juice. Great dogs for ranchers and people who understand how to professionally train a dog who can dedicate hours a day to exercising them too.
Uh-oh.
Smart, loyal dogs. Give them a job or they will make one. They can bite strangers. Hope you're a fan of exercise. Kong toys, keep them busy. Idle time is the devil's playpen. There was one somewhere that was essentially, get them exhausted all the time or they will destroy everything you love. And so what I just was picturing as I was going through
Is Seth a blue healer?
What I was seeing as I was going through those was, I wish I could see Seth's face as he is reading all of these messages asking what he has done. That's my funniest thing from the weekend. Just go scroll through the replies. They're tremendous. Beards, best thing from the weekend.
My best from the weekend is this tweet I saw from StatMuse. It's one of those like player name combined things. I'm actually putting this up on the stream here so that you can take a look at it.
That's exciting. You can watch the show on Facebook, Twitch,
yeah,
YouTube, and Twitter.
And it just says, who would be the best combined player of all time? So you've got your obvious ones. Your LeBron James Harden.
hey, that's my game!
Yeah,
this is my sports release game!
This is special for you. I figured you'd like this
yes!
one.
Yes!
Michael Jordan Clarkson.
Okay.
There's.
Give me just the first name on the next one. Let me see if I can finish the name.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul George.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Chris Paul Gasol. I almost said Paul Gasol. Go ahead. You can say
Chris
the other
Paul
one.
Chris Paul Pierce. But,
okay, sorry.
Specifically, there's one on here that they have listed that has no business being here, but it made me laugh.
Hold on.
Oh, no, you're not going to get this.
Hold on.
Do you want me to give you the first name?
No, I was going to see if I can come up with the dumbest possible one, but I
guess. Oh, it's up there.
Go ahead.
Kevin Durant Anthony Davis.
Let me open my sports or leisure document. Here's this is. Hey, guys, if you're listening on Thursday.
There's another one that's great that somebody commented that I've seen before. It's just Lamarck Gesaldrich.
Stupid.
Oh, it's the best. But anyway, it's just. It was,
I love it.
It was specifically the Kevin Durant-Anthony Davis one,
yeah.
Which is so dumb, when especially they had Kevin. You had Carmelo Anthony Davis sitting right there.
Kevin Durant-Anthony Davis is the entire reason that I do the pun name game. And I've written it down. If we get to the end of that on Thursday, there's a freebie for anyone who's listening on Monday who's also playing Sports or Leisure on Thursday. My best of the weekend, Renee ordered a puzzle. Dogs Playing Poker puzzle. It's not the original Dogs Playing Poker painting. I'm guessing it's, you know, trademarked or whatever. This one of the dogs has bet their key fob for a Tesla. It's a whole deal. We made it like halfway into the puzzle just yesterday, just like crushing through it. It's the oldest I've felt in a very long time. But I was watching baseball while doing a puzzle. And then immediately after,
wow.
My teeth were falling out. I was getting dentures. My wrinkles really popped through.
Did you get your tin of Altoids there?
Yes. I was aging like I had just killed Santa in the Santa Claus movies. I put on the jacket, and all of a sudden, all my hair turned white. I grew up my beard like an Evan Almighty situation. I can't think of a third movie where that happens. It was like the end of the first Indiana Jones.
Santa Claus 2?
I picked the wrong cup. Santa Claus 3. Hold on.
I've seen at least a couple of those.
Let me just write down Santa Claus 3's Company, and I'm just going to add that to my sports or leisure document. I don't know what the prompt's going to be, but that's the result.
I don't think I saw Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause.
Let's learn funny is best. Goes faster when only half of us are here. We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, maybe we'll get to some more Chiefs audio. Maybe I'll continue to follow through on that promise in a very on-brand way, and instead we'll just probably talk more about punny names.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Nick Bolton, like, no, hated it. I mean, just an awful player. I mean, just nothing about Nick Bolton gets me excited at all. No instincts. Really doesn't hit hard at all. That's the issue I have with
him. Weekdays from 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rock chalk.
The best that I could do during the break was Donovan Mitchell Robinson.
That one's been there, yeah.
This one, you know, I wouldn't make this one a pun name game answer, but could I interest you in Domantas Sabonis-Nikola Jokic? I was just trying to go syllables. Sabonis-Nikola Jokic. That's the most I can do, I think, just purely syllable-wise. By the sounds of your quiet clicking, I'm guessing you don't have me beat.
No, I don't.
Also, that one wasn't very good, if that makes you feel any better.
I was trying to find one. You triggered the memory of the one I was trying to find, but I don't know where it is. There was one that I thought that was really stupid and great.
That seems about right. I love this game. I have written down a couple that are not purely NBA, but I've come up with some very silly ones for Sports or Leisure on Thursday, so we can file that one away. Hey, also, Beards, you know what else is Thursday?
No.
The 100-year celebration at the Midland.
Oh, my goodness.
How many
really?
More tickets should we give away?
We can do another one here.
One more pair? Two more pairs?
I'll do one more pair.
One more pair?
Yeah.
Call 913-3810-810. And just be caller number 10. We haven't done a boring one yet today, and we just have the one set, and we need to do it quickly before the show ends. So that one is just sort of a gift from me to Beards. Is that you don't? I was going to say to call in with your own pun name game to make Beards laugh. Beards just needs to get this win in and out. So caller number 10, phone board is already full. So that's halfway there. And caller number 10 gets tickets to the 100-year celebration event at the Midland on Thursday night. We will continue to have more chances to win both during the program coming up here next on Sports Radio 810 WHB and maybe some other ways going forward. So if you're trying to get to the event, and why wouldn't you be, there will be more chances to win today and tomorrow and Wednesday with the show itself on Thursday. I don't know, will we have day of giveaway? Who's to say? I don't know. It's going to be huge, though, and as we found out more details about what's all going down, very excited for some of the surprises and the twists and turns of the event. And Beards, we have our winner on this one? Okay, everybody, stop calling in, and we will get you another chance here coming up soon, either in the program or tomorrow in the zone. We'll have lots of chances to win your tickets to the 100-year celebration of WHB. That's Thursday night at the Midland. Now, Beards is doing too many things. I've done this out of order. I've really made this miserable for Beards because I thought maybe we could sneak in this little piece of audio here today. Can we just get to the Eric Bieniemy clip here, Beards, before we run out of show? Because this really ties back into all the running back conversations we've been having today. And I want you to hear from Eric Bieniemy. He spoke to the media this weekend, and we brought you all the pressers live from today. But this here on Eric Bieniemy, or from Eric Bieniemy on Ronald Jones, I think gives you a little more information in where this running back group is at, as we've talked about with Ryan and going back to the very top of today's show. Here's Eric Bieniemy on Ronald Jones.
You know what? Rojo's doing a heck of a job. He's obviously a big man. He's done some good things running the football. He just needs to continue becoming the football player we expect him to be, because we expect our guys to do a lot from that running back position. And the thing that he's done, he's accepted the challenge, and he's doing things that he hasn't really done in the past. So the thing that I love about him, every single day he comes out here and works his tail off.
I've heard a lot of press conferences. I've been in the room for a lot of Eric Bieniemy press conferences, and so I'm going to try to squint here and tell you what else is being said in between the gaps and the pauses. I think that there are two things there that you could probably guess about Ronald Jones now. One, as Bieniemy says, he's being asked to do things he wasn't asked to do in Tampa Bay. He did not catch very many passes. He was not very good in pass protection. That's something we talked about with Seth Kaiser the day after they signed him, is that those reps were concerning. I would also say that Bieniemy says they are still waiting for him to be that guy. He's taken on the challenge, but they're still waiting on him to be that guy. I'm guessing he has not fully become that guy in a couple weeks of training camp. So can he get there, or could he be the odd man out? Could he end up being a trade target, much like Carlos Hyde was when he had a similar setup with the Chiefs in camp? So I think that bears watching, but the thing that I will continue to hammer here at the running back spot, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the number one running back on this team. I think he'll continue to be that guy for as long as he's healthy and as long as the Chiefs see a reason to give him that work. This is a little bit of a pet issue. They shouldn't have taken Clyde in that spot in the first round. We knew that at the time, just because of the value of running backs, the volatility of the position. Now that Clyde's here, hey, root for Clyde. I hope he plays well. I hope he's a good part of this team, all of that. Nothing personal. Just shouldn't have been the pick because of the position. We're seeing now with the electricity, both in the Twitter hype and also in what people are saying behind closed doors amongst the Chiefs front office and coaching staff, everybody seems very on board with Pacheco in this role that he's going to carve out for himself as a rookie. Talent comes everywhere with the running back groups. You've got veterans like Jerick McKinnon, a younger veteran but still a vet in Ronald Jones. Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde's not on the team anymore. Clyde Edwards-Helaire being... Look, we got through the whole show. I almost didn't mess up any names. Jason wasn't here. I had to get one wrong. Edwards-Helaire is going to have to justify that spot, or at least keep being the number one guy. But there's a lot of dynamicism in that backfield. I think it's pretty exciting. Jason will be back tomorrow. Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly, the program next.